All right, so as we get started this morning, what is sitting here in front of me?
A shirt.
A shirt. What type of shirt?
Shirt from Tops.
T-shirt. A shirt from Tops, right? T-shirt from Tops. So now, if you were to see somebody in this particular shirt, what would you... Miss Martha, you said you can't see?
I can't
see. Oh, no.
I couldn't see it.
But you see somebody in this shirt, and you automatically recognize them as an employee of where?
Tops.
Of Tops. And so there's no guessing, now unless they stole the shirt, like I did this morning. But, you know, there's no guessing where that person works or what company he serves or she serves because of the identification that this shirt provides. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about scriptural baptism. And baptism is the same thing for a believer. Because when we're scripturally baptized, and there is a difference between being scripturally baptized and not scripturally baptized. But when you're scripturally baptized, what you're saying, and there's nothing special in and of baptism of itself. Baptism does not save you. You can go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner. You can go down dirty because you didn't shower and come up just a little bit clean because you got a little bit of water finally. But it does nothing for you. Poor Emmy. It does nothing for you. But what it does do is it says, I'm a Christian and have put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to take me to heaven someday when I die. And so just as putting on a uniform for the grocery store, Tops, or maybe I've seen Kenny sometimes, he has shirts that says Rolling Tire Shop. Now I don't know, are uniforms mandatory at the shop or...
No.
Just kind of if you had one that says the shop name, you can wear it.
Yeah, lots of times I wear ones that say Continental Landowner. Now they're giving us ones that say Napa Auto Care Centers.
Oh, and? All right. So you have a uniform that identifies as some type of an employee somewhere. It does not give you the knowledge. You know, I can put on a shirt from Kenny's work, that doesn't automatically give me knowledge on how to fix an engine or how to change a tire. What's that? Put a car on the lift. No, I mean,
sorry.
But being baptized does not make you a Christian. A uniform and baptism are forms of identification. And so now I'm sure we've all been in a store at some point, and maybe in a fast food restaurant or a department store, you know, like Walmart or Target or something, and you always see those, you know, those big doors toward the back, and usually they have a sign on it. What does that sign usually should say?
Exit.
No.
Employees only.
Employees only. That's right. And so now that sign that says employees only, what does that tell you to do?
There's got to be a bathroom back there.
There's got to be a bathroom back there, but no, it tells you to stay out. Right? Because unless you're an employee of that store, you don't belong there. And only the people who are hired by those places of business, those are the only people that are allowed or should be allowed back there. And I remember when we were in Kansas, I worked at Walmart. And I still have somewhere my old vest and my old badge and things like that. And so I joke with Mandy sometimes. I say, you know, because you go to Walmart sometimes, and it's like they almost never have anything out on the shelves. And it's like, okay, just, you know, give me my vest. I'll go in the back, see what I can find. And she says, no, you'll get arrested for that. Don't do that. But, you know, only people who work there are supposed to go through those doors. What's that?
I said I have old Domino's stuff somewhere because I worked at Domino's while I was in Delaware.
Yeah, see, so you can go into Domino's, get a free lunch or something, and... You know, but the only people who are supposed to be there are supposed to go through those doors. And baptism is similar in the fact that only those who have been saved should be baptized. Baptism is not just a ritual. That's why we don't baptize babies or young people beyond or before a certain age, because they have to make a decision consciously on accepting Christ as their Savior. And so baptism always comes after salvation and never before it. And to qualify for baptism, you must be a born-again believer. You must know Christ as your Savior. Miss Sandy?
When I was baptized as a baby at the Lutheran church, it says right on my baptismal that I go to heaven because I'm baptized. Mm-hmm. Right on my certificate.
Yeah, and that's what some of the denominations
sad.
Teach.
Yeah. Sad.
And because they see it as a ritual for salvation to get saved. And so, all right, let's, who'd like to read there Acts chapter 10 and verse 48 this morning? Acts chapter 10 and verse number 48. Ms. Rose?
And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
All right. So we see there, he commanded them to be baptized. So this morning we're going to cover three different things. We're going to cover the members of baptism. We're going to cover the motives of baptism, and then we're going to cover the mode of baptism, because in order for it to be a scriptural baptism, you have to have all three of these M phrases to make up scriptural baptism. And because there's a lot of confusion in the minds of people concerning the subject of baptism today, something that should be very simple has led to a lot of confusion. And we know from the Bible there's only one way to be baptized and only one type of person that should be baptized. And clearly in the Bible, baptism is commanded for the Christian. Matthew 28:19, there on your paper, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And so the very first thing we want to see, and we're going to be in Acts here for this first part of our lesson this morning, the members of baptism, the members of baptism. And so the question becomes, who can be baptized? Well, we know the answer to that. Only those who have been saved by trusting in Christ for salvation. That excludes babies. That excludes those who are just doing it because it's a religious exercise, those who just want to check it off their to-do list. And this would eliminate baptism as a rite to be performed on infants and unbelievers, and only as an individual gives testimony of salvation should they or she be baptized. That's why if you've ever paid attention to the baptism here, before I go ahead and dunk them, I ask them, I say, and have you, so-and-so, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? They should be able to give an affirmative to that yes, there was a time in their life where they accepted Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then after they give that public testimony of salvation, then I take them and I baptize you, my sister, my brother, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, buried with him in death, risen to walk in newness of life. And so we see here that baptism comes after salvation. Now, who would like to look up there? Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to give you an early hint here. Those first three fill-in-the-blanks are all the same word. They're all the same word. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, who would like to read that? Miss Martha?
Acts 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
All right, and so we see there, then they gladly received his word were what?
Baptized.
Were baptized, that's right. Who would like to read there? Acts, bless you. Acts chapter 8 and verse 13. Miss Sandy?
Then Simon himself, believing also, and then he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered beholding the miracles and signs which were done.
All right. And so then we see there, then Simon himself believes also, and what?
He was baptized.
He was baptized. That second fill in the blank is baptized. Then, Michaela, you want to read there Acts 18:8?
And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized.
All right, and so we see there, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were what?
Baptized.
That's right. And so again, we see belief and then baptism. Belief and then baptism. Belief and then baptism. And then who'd like to read there? Acts chapter 8, verses 37 and 38.
Katie.
Katie, thank you. Whoa, it's one of those days, I'll tell you.
Good morning.
Good morning. I need a coffee or something.
Acts 8:37 and 38. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him.
All right. And so we see there, and answered and said, "I what?
Believe.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," and he baptized him. Now, a side note about Acts chapter 8 and 37 and 38. If you read some of the modern Bible versions, such as the NIV, the ESV, and some other Bible versions of the day, they remove Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, where the eunuch says, "And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You can't have baptism without believing that Christ is the Son of God. And so it's just one of those ways that they subtly start to remove the deity of Christ. And so we see the members of baptism. It must be for those who believe. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Number two this morning, the motives of baptism. The motives of baptism. There's three reasons or motives for scriptural baptism. Number one is the command of Christ. The command of Christ. We looked at the verse. It's right there on the top of your paper, Acts 10:48. He commanded them to be what?
Baptized
in the name of the Lord. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So the first motive for baptism, the very first reason you should want to be baptized, is because it was the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is the first step after salvation in obedience to our Lord's command. So we have the command of Christ. Secondly, we have the example of Christ. Jesus' baptism is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Now, let me say this. There are many people that, and some people joke about it, but some people are dead serious about this. They teach that John the Baptist was Baptist because his name was John the Baptist. He was not Baptist because his name was John the Baptist. He was John the Baptist because he was the baptizer. He was the one who baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who had that privilege, that responsibility, and that is where we get his name of John the Baptist. But we see the example of Christ. Who'd like to read there? Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Miss Martha?
Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him.
All right, and so we see there, Jesus comes from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be what?
Baptized.
Baptized of him, to be baptized of John the Baptist. In fact, if you remember the account there, John the Baptist even thought himself unworthy to be the one to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the command of Christ, the example of Christ, and then we have the identification with Christ. We have the identification with Christ. And so baptism, again, it's that outward picture of an inward work that has already taken place of grace in our hearts. And so baptism, it's important because it presents a picture of the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection. This is why, and we'll get to this in the mode of baptism, this is why we believe in baptism by immersion. That we take you down into the water, that symbolizes the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his burial, and then we bring you back up if you've been good, and that symbolizes his resurrection, that symbolizes his new life. And when you get baptized, that is a picture that you, the Bible says in Corinthians, all things are passed away, all things become new. And so now, again, baptism is not magical. It doesn't mean, okay, when you go down into the water and then you come back up out of the water, that doesn't mean all of a sudden everything in your life is brand new. That doesn't mean every sin you ever struggle with is automatically gone. No, you'll still struggle with things. You'll still struggle with sin and the old man and everything else. But that is an identification publicly that you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ while also proclaiming the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And who'd like to look there? Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6. Miss Sandy?
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
All right, so we see there that first fill in the blank. Therefore, we are what?
Buried.
We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was what?
Raised
up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. And so, again, that's why when I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, buried with him in death, risen to walk in newness of life. And then who'd like to read there? Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Katie?
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead.
All right, so there again we see we're buried with him in what?
Baptism.
Baptism, that is correct. And so we see this morning that baptism is an outward demonstration or a token of one's inner faith. Baptism for the Christian, it's very similar to the symbol of a wedding ring. You know, a married person, we wear a wedding ring as a token of our marriage commitment. Now, the ring does not make the person wearing it married. Just like if I were to take it off, that doesn't make me unmarried. Maybe it's sometimes we might like to think. But no, it makes us, it is a sign, it is a show of our commitment. So neither does baptism make a person saved. Baptism is not salvation, but both are pictures of what has taken place. So for a person to get baptized before he gets saved would be like a person wearing a wedding ring before taking the marriage vows. I mean, who would want to wear a wedding ring before they get married? I don't know anybody that would want to do that. But prior to salvation, baptism means absolutely nothing. And in Scripture and in the Bible, baptism always follows salvation. And so,
when John the Baptist baptized the people, but he wasn't born again, and neither were the people who baptized, I'm wondering if he had to redo the baptism again. You know, if he thought about doing it again.
John the Baptist?
Yes, yes.
I would probably imagine so.
Yeah.
We'll give you an example. We had a fella at the church in Oklahoma, and he had gotten baptized under the previous pastor, but then he backslid, he got away from the church, and he got into another denomination. And so he came back and wanted to rejoin the church. And well, and we're not really covering it here in this lesson, but there is something known as alien baptism. And what alien baptism is the baptism of another denomination. And so if someone comes into this church and they want to be a member of this church, then we do not accept Lutheran baptism. We do not accept Catholic baptism. We do not accept Episcopalian baptism. Even if that baptism was by immersion, somewhere along the line it was missing the right mode. It was missing the right method. It was missing the right member. Something in that was missing. So in order, if you want to be a member of a Baptist church, then you have to have Baptist baptism. Now, where we were in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, they took it even a step further, where if someone came in from a Southern Baptist church and they were baptized, then they would have to be rebaptized. And I didn't necessarily take it that far, But if they came in from another denomination
right.
to want to be a member, then they had to, if they're saying we're a part of a Baptist church, then you have to identify with the Baptist church.
Well, I was baptized as a baby in a Lutheran church, but I was baptized in a Baptist church in
yep.
69.
Yep.
You realize what you just did to yourself, right?
What's that?
We were both baptized in another
denomination.
And Neil's going to have to get baptized.
I already baptized him.
Oh, you?
He was done here.
Yeah, he was done here. I baptized him.
Crap!
All right, well, when you're ready, let me know.
Let my hand heal first.
Okay, okay.
The water's fine.
Well, you can put a glove on it. You know?
Like, no, this is true.
Like Michael Jackson.
Be a water
and, so,
I
was
baptized here twice, I think.
Twice?
Yeah, because once I wasn't really saved. The second time I was really saved.
Yeah, and so that's just what Miss Sandy was talking about, right?
Right.
You know, because you can think you make a profession of faith, and then later on realize, okay, that's all it was a profession, but it wasn't with possession.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, some churches will make you think, oh, you know, you should have had it right the first time. But the truth is, I mean, how old were you when you first got baptized? You remember?
Probably 10 or 11, maybe.
10 or 11, okay. So, you know, kind of right there, you know, on that borderline. And, you know, but it's always good to, you know for sure.
And then I think I was like 24 maybe when I got baptized the second time because I was really saved because I got saved the week after we came back from junior camp.
No way. Absolutely. And so, you know, it's, and so this fella in Oklahoma, that was the same thing. He went away, got to another denomination, and then he wanted to come back and join the church. And well, in order for him to join the church, he had to, you know, be baptized there. Miss Rose?
When Kenny got baptized as a baby in the Methodist church.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got married, he started coming here. And so he decided he wanted to get baptized, you know, Baptist. And so I was talking to his mother and trying to explain it to her. She was asking me questions.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, he was already baptized as a baby. Why does he have to get baptized again?
Mm-hmm.
So I started explaining, going down under, and all of a sudden she freaked out. She started screaming, "You mean they're gonna drown him?" And I didn't know what to do.
Well, if he made the pastor mad that day, I guess.
He came around the corner, helped rescue me.
Oh my soul!
Before my brother passed away,
mm-hmm.
I said, "You're born again, aren't you?" And he goes, "Well, remember, we were baptized when we were little." I said, "Baptized when you were a baby?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "No, that's not going to get you to heaven."
That's right.
But he's in heaven now.
That's right. Amen. That's right. And, you know, baptism, it doesn't save you, but it's so vitally important. And that's why, and baptism is also it's an ordinance that was given to the local church. That's why baptism has to be done in a church. Now we can, I know a few people, I know we used to do baptisms, you know, out at Bob and Bonnie's at their house,
yeah.
But that was still under the authority of the local New Testament church. We just went off site to do the baptisms, but it was still under the authority of the church.
Baptized there, Linda's son.
Yeah. And so, but you know, for, you know, someone to say, you know, oh, so-and-so got saved, let's baptize them in our bathtub. No, that's not scriptural baptism. That's not,
isn't that what ours is? Glorified bathtub?
It is, okay. But it's in the church, so it makes it scriptural.
Jesus
and so
taught us on the cross that even the thief didn't have to be baptized to go to heaven.
That's right.
Taught us that right there on the cross.
That's right. And, you know, and some churches get it wrong to the fact that they say, well, you need to be baptized in order to go to heaven. And that's just not true. Now, to be a member of a church, then yes, because the Bible says in Acts, and he added daily to the church such as should be saved. And that was after baptism and different things like that. But yeah, baptism is just that outward showing. And so then thirdly this morning, and finally, we see the mode of baptism. We see the mode of baptism. So since baptism is to be a picture of salvation, it's important that it pictures the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so hence the method shown in the Bible is baptism by immersion. The word baptize itself means to dip, to plunge, or to sink beneath the water by immersion. Acts chapter 8 and verse 38. Who'd like to read that for us this morning? Acts chapter 8 and verse number 38. Haley?
Did you really just nominate me for that?
He did. He did.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the
eunuch.
And he baptized him.
Yep. And so we see there. And so, and they. And they went where?
Down.
Down both what?
Into
the water. And so that's why, that's another example of why the pastor goes into the water with the person. They both go down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Who'd like to look up there, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16?
I love this one.
Miss Sandy, go ahead.
This was the one that you would tell people about the Trinity. Okay. And then when he was baptized... Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens was open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
All right, so again, we see there, Jesus, when he was baptized, went what?
Up.
Straightway what?
Out
of the water. So, you go down into the water, you come up out of the water. And then Romans chapter 6. And verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Katie?
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life.
Alright, so there we see. Therefore we're what?
Buried
with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was what?
Raised
up from the dead. And then finally, Mark chapter 1. Verse 9. Michaela?
And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan.
All right. And so we see there that he was baptized of John where?
In Jordan.
In Jordan. That's right. And so, you know, often when a person is baptized, the pastor will say something that shows a picture of the gospel. And this is kind of like we do here. I baptize you, my brother, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in newness of life. And there you have that little example there. You have the death, the burial, and then the resurrection. You're taken down into the water, you're put beneath the water, and you're raised up from the water. And so, any questions regarding the topic of scriptural baptism this morning? All right, if not, let's close in prayer, and we'll be dismissed this morning.